Hi, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. It's good to see you today. Now, you may have heard the expression, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. Now, that may sound like I'm repeating the same phrase over and over, but in the first case, no Jesus, no peace, what I mean is, without Jesus, you won't have peace in this life. But to know Jesus means that you know him in a personal way, and as a result, you will have peace in your life. John 14, 27 says the following, Jesus speaking, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, Jesus is telling us that in him we can find peace. And after traveling around the world to many, many different countries, what I've observed is that it's not the amount of material things that you have, it's not a function of your possessions that determines your peace, but it is knowing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in him that you will find peace. Now, the phrase Lord and Savior is found in 2 Peter four different times. But what does it really mean? So I think we should take the two words apart, Lord and Savior. Let's deal with Savior first. Jesus is the Savior. He is the Messiah or the Christ. And all those three words mean exactly the same thing in different languages. Now, what we need to really grab a hold of is that salvation of the soul to heaven is Jesus's work. No person can add to what he's done. No person can improve on what he's done, because Jesus did it all when he went to the cross for our sins, for our forgiveness of our sins. But also importantly, that he rose again on the third day and left an empty tomb. That is whom we have our confidence in for our future salvation. That each one of us will die one day, pass away, but we know that because Jesus is our Savior, that we go to spend eternity with him in heaven. Now the second phrase is Lord, or this, I should say the second word. While being Savior is Jesus' work, and there's nothing you can do to add to it, but allowing him to be Lord of your life, that's your work. That's my work. In other words, that's our responsibility. That's where we have an opportunity to contribute to finding peace in this world and in this life. Philippians 2:12 says the following, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence. So the Apostle Paul is saying that you've been obedient even when I've been out of sight. And then he goes on to say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now I'll be honest with you, when I first read that scripture when I was a new Christian, I thought it meant that I had to contribute to what Jesus had accomplished. But the truth of the matter is that what Jesus did, he did as an act of grace. It is a free gift that can't be earned or deserved. So what does he mean to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Well, the word salvation has more meaning than simply going to heaven. It also means to be delivered from trouble, from trials and tribulations, from the hardships that we find in life. And so when Jesus, or when the Apostle Paul speaks about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, what he's talking about is the importance of us taking seriously the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the Lordship of Jesus Christ has everything to do with us becoming obedient to his call. In that same the following verse, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Isn't that exciting? In other words, it is God who's working in us. He's working in us by his Holy Spirit. He's working in us through the Spirit and through the Word of God. And he's working in us to create that desire for his Lordship over our lives and that desire to be pleasing to him for his good pleasure. So Another scripture is Timothy 3:16. And it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's truths. That's where we develop the truths from the word. We develop the truths that we believe in based upon the word of God. For reproof, for correction. Reproof means a verbal correction, whereas correction actually means to be physically corrected. But here's the part I want to focus on. It also says for instruction in righteousness. Some translations say instructions or training in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, that the process of learning how to walk in righteousness means that's the process of submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ over our lives. And that's the process. That's what the Word of God is all about. It's about how do I live the life that God has called us to. Now, we'll get back to that in a moment, but I want to take a moment to just remind everyone at this point that I have a website which has all kinds of free downloadable resources for people who want to go deeper into the Word, deeper in their walk with Christ, to understand what Christianity is all about, as well as for pastors and leaders and Bible teachers. And so I encourage you to check it out, to see what's available. And I pray that some of what's there will be helpful to you in the work that we're doing together, and that is bringing the kingdom of God to the earth today. Okay, let's get back to Lord and Savior. Lordship is a process. We have to learn how to allow him to be king in our lives, because that's what lordship means. If he is the Lord, then we are the servants of the Lord, in the sense that when he says something, we are expected to do what he says. After all, he's the king. You'd expect that in an earthly king, when the king says something, he expects to be obeyed. Romans 12:1 tells us how we begin that process. And the writer says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or worship. In other words, what Paul is saying, the Apostle Paul is saying, that we are to consider ourselves sacrifices, but living sacrifices. You see, in the Old Testament, they would bring offerings, sacrifices of lambs and bulls and all kinds of farm animals, and they would slay them and they would lay them on the altar. Now, the neat thing about that is that once they were on the altar, they never got off the altar. But as a living sacrifice, we too often get off the altar that we have submitted our lives to. And so that's what it means to be a living sacrifice. We choose to give up what we want because we know and we believe that what God wants for us is far, far better. Then verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's an important difference between being conformed and being transformed. Today, we live in a world of celebrities, and we have sports celebrities. We have movie celebrities. We have political celebrities. There are celebrities of all kinds. And what makes them a celebrity is that they're well known. And as a result of that, we find many people trying to be like the celebrity. So they'll dress like the celebrity. They'll talk like the celebrity. They'll try to act like the celebrity. And that's what it means to be conformed. It means that we're trying on the outside to be like someone else or something else. But transformation means that there's a change that takes place inside, a change of heart. And as a result of that change of heart, it transforms us into the person that God wants us to be. We're not to be conformed, but we're to be transformed. And when we're transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we find ourselves becoming more and more like Jesus every day. We need to learn how to be kingdom-minded. And kingdom-minded means that you're a new man, the new person. That's what the scriptures describes as a new man, or the new woman in any case. Not worldly-minded, because to be worldly-minded talks about the old man or that person you were before you came to Christ. The scriptures make it fairly clear that we're to take off the old and we're put on the new. Training in righteousness means to take off the old and put on the new. Change our attitudes, change our mindset, change our view of the world. In Ephesians 4:20, Paul writes again, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him." And that's taught by him. That's what we are. We're disciples of Christ. He teaches us by virtue of his Holy Spirit, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, "that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old ways of doing things, the anger, the bitterness, the desire for revenge, and all the things that go with that." And that's described as the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. And then verse 23 says, "and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness," right standing with God, "and holiness, separated for his purposes." Colossians 3:8 continues on that same theme. The same theme that he says in verse 9, "do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you've put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him." I remember in our church, you know, years ago, we had a program. It was called "What Would Jesus Do?" And we had these bands, these rubber bands, which we would place around our wrist, and it would say, "What would Jesus do? WWJD. And whenever we had to deal with a change of direction or a change in making an important decision, we would look at that, remind ourselves, and ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus do? It's exactly the same way today. Taking off the old and putting on the new requires us to always ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus do? It's like changing a filter in your mind. You know, I have a car, and one of the things that I have to do with that car is that after so many thousands of miles, I have to change the oil filter, because the oil filter collects all kinds of debris and what we call gunk, which will damage the engine. If you don't change the oil filter, you're going to have problems. Well, it's the same way with changing the filter of our minds. We need to change the filter. We need to have a kingdom mindset. We need to be realize that what God has called us to is to be considering the kingdom of God rather than the secular world that we live in. So how do we change that filter? Well, learning how to filter the Word of God. And that means we need to think before we speak. Is this going to glorify the Lord? Is what I'm about to say, is it something that Jesus would say? We also need to learn how to filter our actions before we actually do it, before we react. Because most people react according to their emotions, and this often leads to regret. The choice we make tells us a lot about our progress in making Jesus Lord. As you change the filter, change the way you think, change and line it up with the Word of God, what you will begin to find is that your life will be filled with the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Because remember, before Christ, you remember those days, your conscience was developed by the worldview, which is by and large secular. Therefore, some of the thinking you have about what is good and acceptable is influenced by your conscience and your soul and your flesh. But now, as a believer, you have a new voice speaking into your conscience, and he is the Holy Spirit. And we're called to begin to make choices that the Holy Spirit prompts us to do, to take a step of faith and simply do what Jesus would do under the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And so how do we recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? How do we recognize what Jesus would do? Well, one way is to make sure that it lines up with the Word of God, the Bible. That's why it's so important to read the Bible, to study the Bible, and to meditate on His Word. Not just simply as an intellectual pursuit where we're just learning and learning and learning but never coming to maturity, but we're learning and we're applying to our lives. You'll never be able to discern the voice of God unless you know His character and His nature. And the only way you can do that is by spending time in His Word and getting to know Him in a personal way. Compare your thoughts or actions, your words and your deeds, with the Word of God. Another area that we'll find as you begin to develop a sensitivity to hearing God's prompting and God's voice is that He will often prompt you to do what you don't want to do or you don't feel comfortable doing. In other words, to be truthful when you don't want to be truthful, to be honest when you don't want to be honest. How about going out of your way to help someone when you really don't want to go out of your way? To be loving, to be filled with joy, to be peaceable, to be patient, to be kind, to be good, gentle, to be faithful, and in self-control. All of these things are found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, what's often referred to as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit is already present in you. You have to learn how to release it into your life. Another area that God often uses is that He often removes the confusion and brings peace to your thoughts and decisions. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule." Now, some Bibles say, let the peace of God be the umpire in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. In other words, if you're in turmoil, if you're in confusion, that is not the time to make a decision. But when God's peace just flows down upon you, that's when you can hear God more clearly, and you begin to move in obedience into allowing Him to be the Lord of your life. I'm going to close with an old American Indian tale that illustrates the battle we all face in our souls. And one evening, an elderly Cherokee Indian brave told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside of people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves. Those wolves are inside of us. One is evil and one is good. The evil wolf is angry and envious. He's jealous. He's sorrowful. He's filled with regret. He's greedy. He's arrogant. He has self-pity and guilt, resentment, inferiority. He's filled with lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. While the other wolf is good. And he is filled with joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." And the grandson thought about it for a moment, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" And the old Cherokee simply replied, "The one that you feed." In terms of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if you feed the old man, you will not succeed in making Jesus Lord of your life. However, if you feed the new man, made in the image of Christ, remember 2 Corinthians 5:17, those who are in Christ are new creations. The old has passed away. All things have become new. And when you allow this process to take place, you will receive the peace that passes all understanding and walk in the blessings of the Lord here on earth and in heaven. And so walk in his peace. Feed the Holy Spirit with the Word of God. And always ask yourself the question when you're facing a decision, what would Jesus do? Amen. God bless you. May God richly bless your families. If you're in the ministry, may God richly bless your ministry. And just pray just his provision over your life in the area of finances, in the area of health, in the area of relationships. May God richly bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.